What is up, Orange and Black soccer family? Not the person you were expecting to see. He'll be back later. However, I will say what he always says in our intro. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at OCSC underscore SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
So like I said, welcome to Orange and Black Soccer Cast, week 6 of the 2023 season edition. My name is Brad, and I'm happy to join you with our first guest, Nathan. Nathan, how are you doing? Nathan from our writing team joins us tonight.
I am doing great. Always have first win of a season. Let's just keep on track.
Yeah, it's obviously very weird that I'm the one opening up the show on our first win. You think Ray would be ecstatic to be here, but unfortunately life, you know, takes hand and he's running a little late this week. Also joining us this week, we have Mr. Kaler. Kaler is from the Hammering Down podcast down in Birmingham. How are you doing, Kaler? And Kaler's pulling your Brad already.
I was messing with the microphone and this is just wonderful start. We're going to blame the fact that it's 10 p.m. I'm doing great, man. It's been a while since I've been on the Orange and Black, but it doesn't mean I have been far away listening almost every episode. So I'm stoked to be on.
Of course. Thanks for joining us tonight. So Orange County, we'll glance over it really quickly. Orange County just played Indy 11, got our first win of the season in a 1-0 victory. I think we should push that back to later on, with our guest this evening, and instead focus while we have you here on the game coming up against the Legion for Orange County. But Kaler, before we ask any questions about the game this upcoming Saturday, did you manage to catch any of our game this past weekend?
Yeah, I watched it beginning to end. I think I've only missed one game of y'all so far. So yeah, I mean, it's you guys held on really well. And, you know, I have a weird pushback against a lot of USL fans being like, well, Orange County got really lucky or whatever, because Indy was knocking on the door. I hate the fact that possession is used as a stat to say they were better when it just means that Indy had the ball and did jack all with it. So I thought Orange County played really well. They handled the wave those first 15 minutes of that high press, and the rest was history. You know, Olaski does Olaski things, puts away the pen, and they looked good for the rest of the game.
Thank you. So, Nathan, do you have any opening thoughts for Kaler about this upcoming weekend's game?
Yeah, I mean, I do believe this is our first ever matchup. Mm-hmm. Would you guys right? Like all time?
I do believe so.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. So, like, honestly, very excited to, like, see a new team, obviously. Like, this year, seeing a lot of, like, Eastern Conference, West Coast, like, clashes. It's, you know, it's always pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, I'm super pumped about it because, Orange County is a team that has been solid, obviously. Last year was a weird thing. But they've been a good team with fun players, and this year is no different. I wish we could have got you guys at home, but I'm really excited to have a 9 p.m. kickoff because those are always really fun whenever we're going down to the brewery and doing the, you know, away day parties.
All right. So I guess I'll lead off. So Birmingham, correct me if I'm wrong, 6 games, 3 wins, a draw, and 2 losses.
Yep.
So that's 10 points. What stood out about how Birmingham plays this season? Who's the players we should be keeping an eye out for, and how do they play differently from prior seasons?
You know, it's interesting, right? Because we brought back players. So he wasn't here last year, but you guys got to see a little bit more of him, which was Nico Brett. He's back in the orange. He's back, not in the orange and black. Wow, the black and gold. And it, he's there. We have Juan Agudelo's back, but this time he's playing left wing as opposed to striker. Enzo Martinez, which is an all USL pest. If you've been around the USL for a while, you know who he is. And some guy, if we don't really know where he is, Tyler Pasher, wherever he is, he went out and had his maybe one of the goals of the season for all the USL, end up number three on Sports Center, and just never saw him again. So there's been a lot of interesting people to keep an eye on, but to me, I think the guy, two guys that you should really be focused on is who's in goal, whether it's been our five-year starter, Matt Van Okel, or a guy who has been here also for 5 years, who's been GK2, which is Trevor Spangenberg, who's gotten a majority of the minutes this season because of injury. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see. And the other one is 17-year-old Matthew Corcoran, who is, you know, he started, I think, every single game, and he has played solid. He has been one of the bright spots of this season, even though this last game, not as much, but nobody was good this last game.
Yeah, so speaking of last game, so we've had the good, the bad, and then the Luton United game. What happened in that one, a 3-0 loss?
You know, I kind of wrote and I talked about it a little bit, and there's a lot of context there. And I think for people who don't follow as closely, they may not understand what's kind of going on there. And it was a lot of perfect storm or unperfect storm for everybody. You look at Loudon, they're a good team. I don't care what people say about them in the past. They are a good team with a very good attack. And they know how to pick apart defenses. They know how to find space. After that, you get a Legion team who does not allow many shots typically, but the shots they allow are normally very good opportunities. You get a team who is good at exploiting space. You get a team who is going to take shots whenever they feel like it. On top of that, the team came out and played very flat, and I kind of hate for it to be the reason, but our head coach, Tommy Soane, his dad just died, right? And he wasn't around training all week long. All that was just a perfect recipe for the team to come out with no, like, energy and the team to just fall flat against a team that really all their strengths played perfectly into the Legion weaknesses.
All right, Ray's here. Ray, you got any questions for Mr. Kaler?
What's up, Mr. Kaler? How y'all doing? Long time no chat.
I know.
And my big question is, I want to make sure, are you treating Allen well on the USL show?
Whenever he's able to show up, we treat him decently. Usually he gets one good monologue in, and you know, it just kind of leaves us stunned of what just came out of his mouth, and we just kind of leave it at that. Yeah, we love having Allen on. It's always a blast just to chat with him whenever we can.
So I don't know if Brad did the whole, you know, letting everyone know Mr. Kaler does like a million things when it comes to USL soccer coverage, Hammering Down Podcast, USL show. And then obviously he's jumping on here with us. I got to listen to a couple of questions. Unfortunately, I didn't 100% pay attention, so I don't want to double down on any questions. But for you, here's the question that I have, Kaler. What's Legion going to be doing? What's Birmingham going to be doing this week? And why are they going to lose?
What are they going to be doing this week? It kind of depends on what's going on with coaching staff, right? With Tommy, hopefully he's back to going. But, you know, if he needs to take time and deal with the loss of his dad, that's obviously understandable. And we just lost our head assistant coach, Connor Smith, to Rhode Island to be their head coach. So we have, you know, two assistants who are brand new to being assistant coaches who are having to fill in as head coaches now. So we don't know where that is yet. Frankly, this team has to come out and they have to press. They have to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They have to be a heavy pressing team. They need to come out and show a little bit more fire and a little bit more try. Because last game, I don't know how else to say it. I couldn't break down tactics. There were no tactics. It was just there was nothing there. And I think a little bit more effort and a little bit more togetherness is going to do a lot. And the whole how will Orange County, you know, why will Orange County win? I said it before, Legion typically don't allow a lot of shots. They only average 10 shots against, which was they Loudoun United had almost double that in this last match. And but on those shots, they are very, very good opportunities. And if there's one thing that Orange County is really good, it's finding slivers of space and getting just behind. Not all those chances have gone into the back of the net, but they're still right there. I mean, look at the first 20 seconds against Indy. There's just little moments here and there that Orange County can take. And if they can just put them on target and they can just pepper the goal, eventually you can bend and bend and bend, but eventually you have to break.
And I'll hand it off to Nathan in one second, but I just have one last question for you, Kaylor. From what you know with this team and, you know, how the USL works and whatnot, what are your thoughts for this match as far as the fan base? Do you know if there's going to be a lot of local fans there from your neck of the woods making their way out to the West Coast to watch and support their team, or do they not travel that well, especially when it's a long travel like that to Orange County?
Legion fans don't, it's kind of unfair because we always sit there and say, well, the travel, it's all so far, you know. But I mean, historically the Legion has not traveled especially well, because your closest matches are Memphis, and that's a whole slew of whatever. And before that, our closest match was Atlanta United 2, and who wanted to go see that? So, but this last year, there was a lot more traveling fans. There were a lot more people going to matches. I don't think anybody's traveling out to California this time, but give it a couple more years, 2 years down the line, when we see this matchup again, and it's going to be back in Irvine. And hey, I think there's going to be at least a few.
Well, make sure that you let them know to go hang out with, you know, people like Nathan and Caroline Coalition. Come say hi. We love the supporting fans that come out, and we welcome them to the stadium as long as they're not from places like maybe Phoenix or something like that. But that's a different story. No disrespect. I love, there's a lot of great Phoenix fans. They're great people. I like to joke on Phoenix, especially right now because of my team, the Clippers, getting game one against the Phoenix Suns. Nathan, you got questions for Kaylor?
Yes, actually just one, I think. So like we know about Brett Pasher. Is there any like underrated player that we should like keep our eye out on Saturday?
I think it's really hard because it depends on who underrates them, because I think by total, I think a lot of the USL sleeps on Anderson Asiedu. He's 5'6", wearing cleats on a good day. And he's an absolute monster. You can't dispossess him. I think he, on the season, he has only failed two dribble attempts. He is just a fantastic player who you cannot dispossess. He's also just, I personally think he's the best ball winning midfielder in the USL. And so I think as the USL world, I think he's a bit underrated. I think in Legion land, if he starts, Moses Mensah, number 33, is a left back who I think has the potential to be the best left back in the league. He has really good defensive capabilities. He is very aggressive on trying to create turnovers with his interceptions. He doesn't get caught up in tackling, so he's a low yellow card risk, but a high counterattack risk for the other team. And he has the ability to put a cross into the box like nobody I've ever seen in the USL. And I mean that. Like, I've never seen someone be able to put a ball on a platter like he can. I think Legion fans underrate him, but I don't know if he'll get the start.
All right, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something to watch my eye out on this Saturday. When I'm, you know, it's like, because, like, you know, I'm there live most of the time. I don't know about these two ahead of me, but... So, yeah. No, yep.
Brad needs to make more trips out to the stadium. I wonder why Brad isn't making it out there.
What's up with that?
And he's muted.
Oh,
so
no. It's over. It's
over. Oh, it's a Brad. Okay.
Once an episode, he pulls a Brad.
I've already done it.
I couldn't imagine any reason for me to make it out of the state of Nevada to California, but one day I'll make it drive. Out there. It's shorter now than what it used to be.
Time flies by when you're in the desert.
I'm jumping ahead right here, Brad, but be ready to host. I'm getting a group of people coming out to Vegas for the match for Orange County Vegas. So I'm giving you the ample warning right now to prepare for that and figure out how to host a big old group of us out there. Kaylor, one last question for you really quick. What is jackal? Because that is not part of the California lingo.
I mean, it's just doing a whole bunch of nothing. They've done jackal. It's like J A C K space A L L. They've done jack all.
Isn't that the proper way to define a word, Brad? Is by using the word in your definition? That seems about right.
I know, as a former teacher, I cannot confirm or deny that is how you're supposed to do it.
Look, my teaching degree has not counted me off on that yet, so.
So, Kayla, I don't know what the plan is for you. I don't know if you're just wanting to jump on, talk with us about this, and then you got to head out because I know it gets late out there, or if you want to hang out with us for a whole show, you're more than welcome to. We'd love to have your thoughts on Orange County. Like, and you're one of the few guests that actually has been watching Orange County, which is awesome because you could probably provide more insight than any of us three that are on here when we're talking about this.
I can stay on for a little bit. I got nothing doing. As Andy said, I'm in the bachelor pad without I'm just the bachelor right now. So nothing going on. I got jack all happening.
I was waiting for
does it make you
that one up.
Yeah. I was gonna say, Kayla, does it make you sad that you no longer get to be the like lead into our show on Tuesday nights? Cause that's what it was for the last couple years.
It was sometimes a little bit stressful because Alan was like, hey, I got to go. And I'm like, oh crap. I've been talking for 20 minutes and I've just been holding them hostage.
Oh, but we love to hear what you got to say, Kaylor. So I'm going to ask you to help us with a breakdown of Orange County's match against Indy.
Yeah.
That saw Orange County for the first time this season, pick up the full 3 points. I'm welcoming the team from the East Coast. And what were your thoughts? Like you said, you watched this match. So I'm going to go to you first, Kaylor. What were your thoughts? What was the strong point for Orange County in this match, if there was any?
I thought there was a lot of strong points for Orange County. I think, you know, as we're seeing the penalty call on, you know, on screen now, I think there was a lot of stuff happening before that. I think the highlights don't really do it justice. And something that Orange County does well is that they get into these creative spaces, but they don't ever seem to get anything from them. But they're always getting in creative spaces, and they're causing real havoc for Indy. The one thing that I think that people were really just harping on too much, and this is the same thing I said with possession, that, I mean, Indy was doing – they had the ball, but they weren't really causing a lot of pressure with it. They were around the box, and they were taking shots, but they weren't meaningful. And I think for Orange County to keep Indy at bay and just kind of keep them from playing what – people want to be their game, I think that Orange County played really, really well. I also I always mess up his name. Orange County's keeper, I'm always blank, Cropper. I think weathering his early storm of not being able to distribute early on He was really struggling with distribution early on, weathering that storm and not breaking during that time when that heavy press was going. I think that was a major plus for Orange County. I think it puts a lot of confidence in for that back line.
So I noticed we've got another person jumping on late with us. So taking after myself, that's Mr. Larry. I want to ask you if you can hear me, Larry, first. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm just walking in the dark back to my house.
That's all good. I wanted to ask you this, and if those that don't know, Larry's becoming world famous for being caught in the shots of some of these games now.
Legend, baby, legend.
Larry everywhere. Yeah. What were your thoughts on Orange?
You know, I had a ton of notes that I took down on Sunday morning when I rewatched the game. And if you give me a couple of minutes, to get back to me in like 5 minutes on that question when I can switch over from my phone to my laptop, because all of my notes are on my phone. But I've got a lot of insights up. I like the way we played overall. For the first 20 minutes, I was down there at the far end getting really pissed off because I didn't like what I was seeing at all. After that first 20 minutes, we really took over the game. We took over control of the game, I felt. And there were some really special moments that, again, if you give me a couple of minutes, I can get to my notes.
Yeah, if I can butt in and
please
kind of give some insight. So I agree. The first 20 minutes were stressful. The last 25 minutes of the first half, I thought Orange County was by far the better team, creating a lot of chances, stretching the field. Dogman on the left-hand side was a monster, creating a lot of space with a couple give-and-goes, earning a yellow against Indy 11, and really giving them a lot of problems for 15 minutes of that first half. However, with that said, other than this chance that's on the screen right now in the 86th, 87th minute of the game, Orange County didn't really do anything but sit back the second half, in my opinion. And it was very stressful, I guess, watching Indy kind of squander their own chances too. And I really think Ashish Chadha should have had that goal. He played a fantastic game, won a lot of balls, hounded up and down that field. And unfortunately, when given the ball on a tee by a very actually selfless Milan Alosky, kind of just sent it up and over. So as you can see on the game flow chart here, Indy 11 did a whole lot of nothing with the ball when they had it. They had a couple opportunities that they never really got a clean, healthy shot on goal with. And Cody Cropper, you could see, still was kind of working his way back into playing form for the season. However, once when the team got started to get going, Orange County's defense just took the air out of the game that game. It was probably the, in my opinion, the second most complete game Orange County's played this year. I think the game against Tampa that we ended up drawing was better. I think we looked better in that game, but definitely a change in form and how we looked in some of those games.
I wanted to check if what I was seeing was right. You know, out of all of the 484 passes that Indy had, right, only 89 of them were considered to be progressive passes, meaning they went forward in a meaningful way. That's only 18% of their passes were going forward. Of all those passes, 484 passes, I mean, heck, 188 of them were lateral. They were just going side to side. That's kind of what I mean by, yes, I mean, Orange County was sitting back and they were letting Indy have the ball. But what was Indy doing with it? I don't mean that to take away from what Orange County did, because we've seen Mark Lowry in the past with El Paso play a similar system, and that breaks teams down. And eventually someone lunges in, they put a ball through the middle of the channel and they square it away. Orange County stayed disciplined, and they allowed Indy to do nothing. And I thought that was a fantastic defensive performance for Orange County.
No, I agree with you, Kaylor, there. You know, I wish – and one of the things that I think we've had issues with is when Orange County wins the ball back, sometimes it's kind of like, well, what does the team do with it? And you kind of saw a little bit of the issue kind of reverting, where Orange County will just lop the ball over and let whoever's playing forward. In this case, it was Thomas Among, chase down the ball and hold it up and do something with it. But that's not how Orange County is going to get most of its goals this season. I think we've looked a lot better with players like Jameson, who made the run into the box and earned that PK, which some might say was a little soft, but honestly, you take a player down from behind in the box, it's going to get called regardless of how easy the player goes down. I feel like we look a lot better playing when, as soon as you get the ball, someone's making a run, and we have definitely the talent to make those runs. Corradio Sundina's looked really good. The aforementioned Bryce Jameson looks extremely good. He's making people miss left and right. And I think that's how Orange County should be approaching the game, because lopping the ball and playing chase the ball does not, it might work sometimes, but it's not fun to watch.
And let me just say really quick, Brad, you brought up Bryce Jameson. Let me just say congrats on his call up to the youth national team. Very well deserved. He's looked amazing out there. So I'm really excited about that. And bear with me one second, because I'm about to call. I just tried to mute before I coughed. Hopefully I caught it on time. But you also talked about, you know, the question of the penalty. That's what you got to do. That's what players are trained to do, is if there's any kind of definitive contact in the box, you got to sell it to the ref and make the ref make a call. The ref can either make the call and get you a pretty much a free goal, or the ref says no, play on. And in that case, it went Orange County's way. I mean, I've seen my son do it in youth soccer. He comes up and tells me after the game, hey, I barely got nudged, but I went down easily because I wanted the ref to call it, and the ref called it. And this is, you know, U10 soccer. My son's trying to sell the penalty in the box. So that's what these players are trained to do from an early age. I'm not saying I've trained my kids to do that, but that's what they see. That's what they watch. They watch Neymar on the YouTubes, and they see him going down on when someone's breathing on him and rolling around, and they think that's what you're supposed to do. And that's what players do. And again, it's just putting the call in the ref, make the ref make a decision and try and earn that easy goal, which Orange County got. And hey, I'll take it. 3 points for Orange County in that match. Larry, you're back. You were there. You were, again, world famous, because now you're on the ESPNs and all that stuff. We could see you in the shots of like throw-ins and PKs and all that. We could see you everywhere. It's like a Where's Waldo version of Orange County Soccer Club. What was your impression or your thoughts on Orange County this match, and was it deserved for those 3 points?
I absolutely think that it was deserved for 3 points. To go back to what I was saying, Indy really was the better team, it seemed like, for most of the night. They were the ones asking all the questions, but like Kaylor mentioned, the passes were going side to side. Fortunately, our back line held and had the answers when they were needed. I thought Dogman over there on the left was fantastic all night. Well-deserved man of the match for Orange County. He out-muscled his man a bunch of times, outran his man a bunch of times. It was almost like, I don't know who that player was that he kept beating up on, but it was an amateur playing against a pro in what I was seeing. One thing that concerning was Indy only allows 8 shots per game-ish. I looked up the stats. We only took 8 shots, 2 of them on target. And that's still a concern. We got to take more shots. We have to, you know, you don't take shots, you can't score goals, you can't get 3 points. A couple of other things that I thought were great. Alex playing in that 10 slot, he was fantastic all night. Kyle Scott was everywhere, all over the field, and he was excellent. I would love to see the two of them playing in the 8 and the 10, and they get Danny Peterson back into his usual 6 slot. And that's a really scary good midfield right there. I think we get that going, and we are going to be a dangerous, dangerous team to watch out for, because we also have that, that Olaski kid who tends to be pretty good at putting the ball in the back of the net.
Well, and if I recall, there were some people, maybe not any of us on the show, but people maybe in the chats that were a little concerned with the midfield and were not sold on Kyle Scott returning and being sort of a key part of that team. But I think he's fit in really well, and he's showing why Coach Richard Chaplow and the front office have faith in him, right? Whoever wants to answer that, go for it.
Oh, absolutely. He, so far this entire season, he has been really, really exceptional. I'm starting to think that my my girlfriend has officially dumped Mikko Kuningas and has a new blonde-haired man-bunned young midfielder as her new boyfriend, which doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm okay with it. She's still old enough to be his mom, but that's another story altogether. Kyle's been fantastic. I've loved the way he's played so far in every game this year.
Well, let's do this. Let's find out how Kyle's been doing and why he's been performing so well. We have a guest that's going to join us. Maybe he can help answer what he's seeing from Kyle in practice and why Kyle's looking so great on the pitch this season. That's Mr. Brian Olosky. Before we get into Kyle, though, Brian, welcome to the show. I got to ask you this question, and feel free to bash me if you want to. I want you to be honest. But at the end of last season, when we were doing our player grades, I caught a little bit of flack from one of our hosts when we were getting to you. And I said, the lesser of the two Olosky brothers relating to last year, comparing you to Milan. Was that bad of me for saying you were the lesser of the two Olosky's, or do you agree that Milan had the better season last year?
I think he had the better season by default because I didn't have a full season. So it's probably a little unfair, but
All right.
He definitely had an MVP caliber season though. So.
Yeah, no. And I didn't mean any hard nature by it. It was just looking at stats. And like you mentioned, you didn't get a full season because of injuries, which I know is probably a little frustrating for you. Let's get back on the topic of Kyle Scott. What have you seen from him in practice, and why is he succeeding with Orange County this season?
Yeah. I haven't been out of practice much. I just started training a couple weeks ago. But yeah, Kyle's an excellent player and very technical, has a lot of skill on the ball. So no surprise about that. I was I'm a fan of Kyle and his play. I think he's a great player, so I think he's been good for us so far.
All right, let's get to you, Brian. Really quick, I'm going to hand off to Larry. I'm going to let Larry ask the next question, but before we do so, I don't know if you've heard the rumors, but Larry actually wagered his beard this season if the Olosky brothers could play 5,000 combined minutes, I believe was the thing there. I think with your injury, that's giving his beard a little bit of a safety and security, but yeah. Any chance you're going to make it back out there and be able to make a run to that 5,000 minutes with your brother and possibly we lose that beard on Mr. Larry?
Yeah, I did hear about that. I'll hopefully be upping the minutes soon. So we'll be coming for it.
We'll be coming for that beard.
The reason that came about last at the end of last season, Brian, when you came back from the injury, we were a different team. I wasn't involved. You guys were, Orange County was a different team, and they were a better team. And there were things that you and Milan did last year that honestly, I think only brothers could do. You two have played together so much and you know each other so well. And it was fantastic to watch. And my comment when we were doing our player grades, when I got to you, Ray said mean things about you. So if you want me to hold him while you punch him, you got it, brother. I got your back. I said that I would give anything that I would shave my beard to get 5,000 combined minutes out of the Olosky brothers next season. And I'll tell you what, if you guys can do it, I will happily shave my beard. I will do it right here on camera on the podcast.
Yeah. I was so excited coming into the season because I wanted a fresh start with Milan and the whole team get in there and play. And so that was unfortunate that I had a setback, but I'm hoping that we both stay healthy and can play together and build that chemistry back up that we already have. 5,000 minutes. How many full games is that?
5,000 minutes.
That is an average of approximately. That is 74 minutes each. That's 74 minutes each for all 34 games.
So that's tough. That's tough right now. Here's all up the ante on this, right? I know, Brian, you don't have control of the lineup. Obviously, Coach Richard Chaplow is going to decide who plays what minutes and whatnot. But if somehow, some way this works out, we will ask the club if we could set up something at the center, the kickoff circle, and you two can each come with clippers and shave off Larry's beard yourselves. if we can make that happen. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, last game of the year. If we have that in the bag, we'll see.
So let me get to this. You know, obviously, like Larry said, you when you came back last season, it was a different team. You've been with the squad for a few years now. You're a very skilled, knowledgeable player. I think you understand what Coach Richard Chaplow asks of the players on this team. What is it that you know about this build of this roster? And once you're healthy, once you get out there, what do you see on this team that's going to make the fans excited? And hopefully we'll see a push to contend for another championship this year.
Yeah, a lot of talented players again this year. A lot of injuries early on, so it's been difficult so far. Trying to get everyone healthy and on the pitch and available so that we can build towards our ultimate goal. So, yeah, I feel like coming into the year everyone was looking forward to it, and we've had a few setbacks now, but you know it's very early on, and I think once we get everyone back and running again, we have a really good squad.
All right, so I guess it's my question next. So correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but between you and Seth, you guys are the two longest tenured players with Orange County right now, correct?
I think so, yeah.
So what's it like being, I mean, obviously you're slightly younger than I am, but being quote-unquote the most veteran player on that team with Orange County in the locker room, especially with the youth that come through our system?
Yeah, it definitely feels a little bit different this year with it being my fourth year, especially with the new guys coming in, just getting them used to everything about Orange County on and off the field. So definitely feel like I've had more of a leadership role in a way, even though I haven't been exactly on the field yet in the matches. So that part's been different, but I feel like I've enjoyed that and enjoyed teaching some of the younger guys and trying to help them as much as possible.
All right. And I got one more for you. How has your play style changed over the last couple of seasons with this team? And what are some things that you still think you need to work on?
I don't feel like my style in the team has changed much. I would think it's more the style of the overall team has maybe changed a little bit. The championship team 2 years ago, we were pretty defensive minded, so a lot of my play was more of a balance. I feel like now I see myself going into games and this year and having more of an attacking role and emphasis on my ability to create chances and score goals. So I feel like that I started that up at the end of last year and then continued that throughout the preseason until I had picked up my broken ankle. And then now I'm looking forward to getting back and being that creative player in the midfield.
Awesome. I'm going to let Kaylor ask you a question, but before he asks the question and before you answer, just know that he follows Birmingham. So if he asks you any tactical or strategic questions, please give him a totally incomplete, incorrect answer so that he can relay the information to that team.
Okay. What's up, Brian? So I'm Kaylor from the USL show and Hammering Down out in Birmingham. I was just going to ask, because you're a guy that popped up on my radar a while back, all the way back to whenever you were in Slovakian Superliga, right? And something that was really interesting to see as you've grown from then until now, and you kind of already answered it, which kind of sucks because I had this quite great, wonderful question. But your aggressiveness in going back defensively has gotten so much more natural. And it was really strange because when you were back in the Superliga, you were playing deeper. You're playing these deeper roles than you are now. Is there something about maturing with a place, maturing as a player and getting comfortable with making these like aggressive slide tackles, aggressive loose ball duels? Or is it something that is something system wise that gives you more confidence to go in for it?
Yeah, I think that it comes with a little bit of maturity, and people always used to tell me that I needed to work on both sides of the ball, even though I'm obviously an attacking player. it's a little bit different here in the States when you are an attacking player. I think there's more of an emphasis on both sides of the ball, of defending and pressing and all that, especially with the team 2 years ago. So I think that's where I grew in that part of my game.
Awesome.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, just one more question for you. So we know that you joined OC first, then you Inter Milan. Is there a chance we could see the third brother join you two as well, or is that
too late?
Not in the cards yet.
No, could have happened last year, actually. Yeah, could have happened last year, but fell through the cracks. It was actually closer than a lot of people know about, but yeah, he decided to hang him up and move.
What would have that meant for you and Milan if your brother would have joined you on the team? Would that have been an amazing experience?
Yeah, for sure. Neil and I were definitely wanted it to happen, but yeah, Eric had other ideas. So
yeah,
props to him. I mean, you got to make your calls of when you're done working for the game and figure out what your next goal in life is.
Yeah.
So props to him on that.
So, hey, Brian, we had a one of the fans, someone watching the show, they wanted to ask, what is your hype music before a game?
Oh, I always get this question. I honestly don't really have like a specific song or a specific like genre of music. I usually just listen to whatever the guys are playing in the locker room. So, and then I used to come in the locker room with headphones on. I don't ever bring headphones anymore. I don't know. I feel like I just come in and I like being calm and I like being in my own zone. And then I just listen to whatever's on. It doesn't really bother me one way or the other. I don't feel like I get more pumped or less pumped or anything like that. I feel like I have the same level-headedness going into games.
So our producer Andy is saying ABBA. I don't even, Brian, do you know ABBA?
ABBA?
Dancing Queen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So then who this season, Brian, is in charge of the aux cord in the locker room? What are they playing? And you said you don't mind it, but do you?
No, it's been, I think it's been mostly Seth and Kyle. I know Kyle was on the aux the other day before the game, and then we end up getting the win, so I assume he'll stay on it.
Does he have a good taste in music?
Yeah, it was kind of like a different like house. I'm not sure how to.
So it's the music you hear when you watch the European highlight videos reels of all the players from Europe.
Yeah, yeah,
that something you have on those like videos. That.
More of an English flair to it. Yeah, for sure.
Let me ask you one random question, and then if everyone else is done, we can move on and let you go. But as far as your playing style, I don't know if you. Maybe I'm dating, and producer Andy brought up ABBA. What Looney Tunes character would you compare yourself to as a player?
Which I don't even know. I don't even watch Looney Tunes. I have no idea. No clue.
So, you know, like Bugs Bunny, Tasmania Devil, Daffy Duck, all those. Crazy...
I mean, I'll go Tasmania Devil.
There you go.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That is literally exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
Awesome. I could imagine him on the pitch picking up like red card after red card. He'd get like 5 red cards in a match.
On the pitch. Not that side of it.
And then one last question. I know I said that one will be last, but if you watch NBA, who are you going for in the playoffs?
The Lakers.
The Lakers.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Good answer.
It's because of what the first question I asked, and because of my comments last year, he's getting back at me. I get it. Any last message, Brian, for the fans that pay attention or follow the club and that'll be out there this weekend, and maybe even for some of the traveling Birmingham fans? You have any message for anyone?
I'm just looking forward to getting back, back on the pitch and a more consistent minutes under my belt. So looking forward to playing in front of our fans this weekend, and then the ongoing matches in the future. I don't have any messages for Birmingham.
Well, just hopefully the traveling fans, you just rub it in their face when you score goals or when you get a great assist. Just make sure they know that was for them for making that long distance out for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Olosky, one of the great players for Orange County. Thank you, Brian, for taking your time and joining us tonight.
Yep. Thanks.
And we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you.
On the pitch. Awesome.
Take care.
See you later, Brian.
All right. Brad's the host of the show tonight, so we're going to go. Brad, what's up next?
Well, I think we should, if I know we had to cut Larry off a little there from his time talking about Indy 11 game last weekend. I think we should do that, mention our standings in the prediction contest, and finish out with predictions for next week. How about that?
Well, really quick, before Larry says anything about else about the match, Larry, can we, do I have your permission if we were to create like a shirt with like a silhouette of you in the background of all these plays and we can sell it like that? I still think we should do the beard thing. I mean, that everyone would know exactly who that is if they listen to this podcast. I'm sure Kayla would buy a Larry beard shirt or hat.
My fiance would be confused, but I mean, that's okay.
Hey, you know what? If it becomes a great big game and people want to get involved, I would absolutely be behind anything and everything. Whatever we can do to bring more attention to the show, whatever we can do to bring more attention to Orange County Soccer Club. For instance, you know, I wasn't here when Kayla first came on, and we know I like to talk a little bit of smack. So, you know, whatever we can do to bring more attention to kicking the crap out of Birmingham on Saturday, any of these little things, I am a big fan of. I see that face, Kayla. How you doing, Kayla? I'm Larry. Good to meet you, buddy.
Hey, pal. Nice to meet you, pal.
Larry, do you know what jackal means?
I do, actually. I typed because I was listening on my phone as I was walking from my son's lacrosse game. I know exactly what jackal means because I have used that term, but with a different word in front of all. I will let you all take a wild guess what that word might be.
Andy tagged me in this tweet and I meant to respond to it. I say dang a lot. Dang and dern are two very common words out of my mouth. Yeah.
Dern.
It's like dang, but when you have an accent.
Nathan, you're part of our writing team. Do you want to like compile a list of all these like random words our guests use so we can figure out, and we can, that way when we have Kayler back next time, if he uses the word dern, people will know what he's talking about.
No, just every time he says, we'll drink.
It's dern.
Every
is
time
like,
he says, dang, drink.
Dern is like darn, but when you're Southern.
All right.
I mean,
there we go. Brad, you're letting this episode sort of just go to jackal? I don't know.
Nah.
That's an inappropriate usage of that word. It would be the opposite of jackal that this episode has turned into. And Larry can fill you in on what that word means.
Let's just do this. Let's get to random thoughts. We're losing viewers. We're losing fans. People are going to stop listening to us. Kayler's going to stop wanting to join us on the show based on the way the last 5 minutes have gone.
I think we should do what Andy has put on the screen. Talk about our predictions, which Ray is currently in dead last out of everybody who's made a prediction so far this season.
Ray is horrible at this.
Well, Ray also has turned in 3 predictions so far this season out of 6 possible games.
I'm counting on you, Brad. I'm counting on you to write them down because I do other stuff.
It's a simple form, but anyways, let's just quickly highlighting some of the players this week. One person this week has a full 5 points off a 1-0 game with Milan Alaski scoring first, and that was Joshua S. So good job on Joshua, who jumps up the standings towards the top two, actually tied for second place with Lucas. But Logan still leads overall for everybody with 13 points on the season. Predictions are now open for the Birmingham Legion game this upcoming weekend, so go ahead and get those in. And as for us with our lovely podcast and writing team, Taylor currently leads the way with Ray running dead last, but myself not too far behind with an abysmal 4 points out of a possible 30.
I got to ask this, Brad, how many times have you submitted your scores to the form?
Every single week.
So, right, and I said, Brad, it was abysmal. Worse than me because I've missed quite a bit of them, and I'm still at least within 3 points of Brad. Yes. And let's just call it what it is. Taylor is the most knowledgeable person on our show. So thus, that's why she's sitting top out of all the quote unquote experts that we have. Let's get our predictions then in really quick for this match against Birmingham. Oh, Larry, did you have something to say?
Well, you were saying how Taylor is the most knowledgeable, the most expert, and let's just remind everybody. Let's tell Kaylor who won last year, the whole thing, the whole smash, and just destroyed everybody. Who was that again?
Was that Dylan? Alan, maybe? Couldn't have been Larry.
The guy who literally just a week ago learned what the 10 and the 9 and the 6 and the 8 was. So there you go.
It's because numbers don't matter anymore, and it drives me insane.
Well, Larry did his pick sort of like what, you know, non-college basketball fans do for March Madness. He's just picking based on like the best logo and all that stuff.
It works.
Well, if that's the case, I would pick Birmingham a lot. They got a great logo.
Okay, let's get into this. Predictions, I guess. Who wants to go first? You know what? We haven't heard much from Nathan for a while, so we'll let Nathan go first.
I have a feeling you guys have picked me first. I do think that this week will be more scoring because Birmingham, good offense, okay defense, whereas Indy was good defense, bad offense. So I'm going to say that it'll be a 2-2 draw with the first goal going to, I think, Ashish finally gets one.
All right. Let's go to, I guess, reigning champ Larry. You can go next.
I haven't got a lot of them right so far this year. I keep getting Orange County's score right, but I keep getting the opponent wrong and the result wrong. But I'm feeling good about things this week, and I'm feeling really good about Cody Cropper. And I say he's going to get his second clean sheet in a row, and Orange County is going to win by a score of 2-0. And, I mean, if you pick anybody but Milan Olasky to score the first goal, there's probably something wrong with you. So I'm going to pick Milan to score the first goal.
For a second, I thought you were leading to that Cody Cropper would be the goal scorer for Orange County. It sounded like that's where you're going with that.
I'm done. Really stupid.
And Dern, Russell for picking Birmingham, apparently. Wow. What is your pick?
My pick this week is going to be, I'm going to say we score our first 3 goals game of the year, 3-2. I think that seems highly illogical and therefore bound to happen with how my predictions have gone this season. And I'll choose Milan as the shoe-in again for the first goal of the game.
My non-official pick is going to be 5-0 Birmingham. Obviously no goal scorers for Orange County. We got to get the fun stuff going with this. Kaylor, you get to make a prediction here, and guess what? That'll be my official pick. So whatever you pick, I'm going to put into the sheets here if I can figure out how to do that. I'm not good with these forms that Brad creates.
They're not that difficult.
I don't really know, because it depends on what's the context of like what's going on with Coach Sohn and all that kind of stuff. So taking everything into consideration, I would not be shocked with a 1-1 draw. For the goal scorer, I'm going to say something insane. I think Villanueva is going to get a second.
That's not too insane. Oh, look at that. Hey, look at that. Kaylor likes me. He's giving me a realistic chance of getting 5 points this week. And Brad, you'd be excited to know that I did submit my form already as I was listening to Kaylor.
I just saw it pop up in the screen. All right. So I promised the people on the Discord prior to the show today that I'd give them a shout out if they got the predictions in. And so far we've gotten 4 community predictions in. So really quickly, they're all 4 wins. Lucas says 2-1 Milan scores first. Daniel says 2-1 Thomas scores first. Thomas Among. Chuck E says Ashish Chadha scores the only goal in a 1-0 game. And Russell, who in our comments posted his prediction for you guys, said that Orange County wins 3-1 and a returning Sparky McNulty scores.
He picked Orange County 3-1. I was wrong. Sorry, Russell, for calling you out on that one. Let's get to some quick random thoughts here to wrap things up before we run out of time. Let's go. Nathan, you can go first.
Let's see. First of all, quick shout out to Bryce Anderson being called up to the U.S. U-17 national team. That's what it was. And also just another OC youth guy. Dan's called up. You really love to see it.
There we go. Brad, random thought.
I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to the team that I am wearing tonight. This is Queen City FC, an indoor soccer team based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And I got this jersey today from a little mystery gift from Olive and York's soccer club. Jersey creator? I don't know how to say it.
Let's go to Larry.
For those who do not follow the English League Championship, my Sunderland Black Cats are this close to securing a spot in the promotion playoff. They are so close to go back to the Prem where they belong. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but they have done it without their best goal scorer, Ross Stewart. So maybe not this year, but next year you will see Sunderland. You will see my Black Cats back in the Premier League, and you will see a new Black Cats tattoo on my arm when they do go back up. And Grayson's JV lacrosse team lost 14-1 tonight. Go Titans.
Someone is super excited.
Look at Kayler with the lacrosse. You a lacrosse player?
Yeah. Played a little bit in college.
Nice.
Someone is so excited if Sunderland makes it up to the Premier League just to get relegated the next season. So go for it, Larry. I love that enthusiasm there. Kayler, do you have a random thought for our episode?
Ooh, is it allowed to be a plug?
Absolutely. Yeah,
go for it. Plug away.
Speaking of Olive and York, the Hammering Down Kit pre-sale ends tomorrow, and it's just a big map of Birmingham. And I think it's nice. The other random thought, you know, the last time I was on here, you guys were still doing favorite vegetable. And I still remember that. And I was thinking about it today as I was getting ready for this. I've been big on these veggie chicken nuggets. That they're like these buffalo chicken nuggets that are supposed to be like the plant-based. They're incredible. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
So is that what goes for vegetarian or a vegetable in Birmingham?
It kind of depends. Usually whenever I mentioned to somebody before that I didn't eat meat, they're like, well, that means you haven't had good meat. Or I was called a communist once. Depends.
Random thought for me is Clipper related. I'm really upset that the NBA decided to not give the Clippers Sun series a more than two day break between any match in the first round. I think there were one of two matchups in the first round that didn't get that kind of treatment. Most times in a first round playoff, you'll play like a game and then take a night off and then play another game and then maybe take three nights off and then play another game. The Clippers Suns, it's game, day off, the whole series. And that means if they go to a game seven, that game will be on the 29th. I will be out for a conference in Phoenix on the 30th. I was hoping that there would be a game seven in Phoenix because then I could go rep my Clippers in Phoenix. But because of the scheduling mess up by the league, that is not a possibility. But hey, Clippers got a game one still. So let's just sweep them and move on to the next series and knock out Mr. Chris Paul and Kevin Durant and all them. Let's wrap this up. We're going to get done with under an hour. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight, including our guest, Mr. Kayler Hodges from Hammering Down USL Show and whatever else he's doing out there in Alabama. Also, Orange County Soccer Club legend, Milan Olasky, or not Milan Olasky, Brian Olasky. See, man, I'm messing up here at this now. We're not going to get in under a minute. Also want to thank everyone that's been on the show with us tonight. Mr. Larry, Mr. Brad, Mr. Nathan, producer Andy, and for those that didn't make it tonight, Taylor, Dylan, you know, Alan's still, I guess, officially part of our show. We miss y'all. Come back soon. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out. Orange County.